Would you turn with me to the portion of scripture we read together there this morning? Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 37, the whole of this episode concerning this blind man, Mark tells us that is Bartimaeus. But verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cries, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when they went before, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. He cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy of me. I want to particularly take out of this episode what is emphasized for us, and that's the reason why we read the first few verses of this chapter. There at the very beginning of this chapter 18, our Lord is encouraging persistence in prayer, emphasizing that perseverance that we should keep going, keep at it. We should pray for a saving purpose and for a spiritual blessing, even in the face of many obstacles. And the story and the parable he uses highlights obstacles in that day. The woman in that day was little regarded by law, at least she had very little influence, input, or redress. She was not only a widow, she was a widow woman, so there was no one else to speak for her or with her. She was on her own. And she was poor. There was no way that she could accommodate a system that was going in her day. There was bribery to get the verdict that you wanted, but she couldn't even have that as an option. She presented her case and it was rejected. And she was disappointed as she went home because she knew that her case was right. And so she tried again and again and again. And the judge was sick and tired of her coming. And so eventually he gave in to her and gave her the justice she was asking for. And the illustration that the Lord puts upon it is that we should persist. We should not be put off. We should not give in. We should not be squashed flat by any obstacles that come our way when we know our case to be right. And that persistence that we see emphasized at the beginning of the chapter is brought before us in a flesh and blood example at the end of the chapter. Because there we have the persistence of Bartimaeus brought out. People were wanting to put him down. And he cried all the more for the Lord to show him mercy. Tolerating no barrier, no obstacle, nothing was too great. In fact, the more obstacles they put in his way, the more it challenged him and stimulated him to cry out for what he wanted and longed for and needed. You know, persistence like that is often one reason why the Lord may delay answers to us. Persistence like that is sometimes the Lord's way of testing just how badly we want something. He doesn't give it to us at our first asking. And that is the way the Lord tests, well, what do we do? Do we keep asking or do we go away? We see it here in prayer. We know it also in the way in which Jacob wrestled with the Lord and he would not let the Lord go until he had a blessing from him in Genesis chapter 32. We are brought to value and we are brought to appreciate God's blessings upon us when it costs us something. Costs time, costs effort, costs energy. That kind of commitment on our part, asking for it. But also we can appreciate the salvation that is ours when we see that same time and effort and commitment on the part of the Lord who obtained it at great cost to himself, so therefore we can appreciate it ourselves. Persistence then. That's what we've got before us here. How do spiritual interests, how do spiritual things dominate us and overrule all else to us? Nothing else really matters. That's the challenge, and that's what the Lord is saying to us here this morning. We can easily bring it home in the difference between a child and a grown up. For a child, everything has to happen at once. If it doesn't, they go away and try something else. But for a grown up, we keep on working at it, to do something we want done. Let's then take that thinking over into the spiritual realm. Are we desperate? Are we on edge? Are we longing and waiting and seeking something? And the way in which we can measure that desire for ourselves is through the scale of persistence. Do we keep at it, asking God to bless us? Is our soul worth so little to us? Is our soul worth so little to us that we cannot keep asking? That we give in so easily and so quickly? Is eternity so indifferent it doesn't bother us, scare us, or trouble us? Is eternity like that to us that we don't give it a second thought? Is the reading of our Bibles and spending time with prayer in prayer with the Lord something that we can take or leave? Where is the persistence when there are so much demands laid upon us in life? We give in to them. We're squashed by them. We put off by them. Time will soon pass us by. And from the spiritual questions that we're asking here this morning, we so often can so quickly turn away to other things. But sooner than we think, and with a shaking that goes to the depth of our souls, sooner than we think, and in ways that might surprise us, we wish that we had time to reconsider the things that are before us this morning. We are sitting in the way then. We are sitting where we've always sat, as Bartimaeus always sat. And there is, passing by us in the gospel message being preached this morning, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who can give us spiritual sight. He is the one who can cure our soul. He is the one who can make us whole and be at peace again. He is the one who is presented before us in this gospel message. We are all there with him passing by. We might be just like Bartimaeus. Our understanding might be a little dim. Our hearts might be dark and we don't understand everything that's been said. We might not see things with the clarity that others see things with. But here we are. And we're in the place where the gospel is preached. And Jesus is passing by. Very well. Are we persistent? Do we cry out to the Lord to save us, like Bartimaeus did, for spiritual sight? Do we cry out like that for spiritual sight to see the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him? Or do we allow things to come and rob us of that priority? Things that we left undone from yesterday. Plans and intentions we've got for tomorrow. What will people say if we go out and start speaking about Jesus and say that we're a Christian? These are the kind of obstacles that might come in our way. And in the face of these obstacles, do we cave in to them? Or do we stand up against them with persistence? Here this morning, we have a glorious opportunity then. Jesus Christ is the only one who could give Bartimaeus his spiritual sight. He sat there day after day after day. Some days he was getting little or nothing from what was going on round about him. We can think that for ourselves. How often have we been in a church service and we have got little out of what was said? But today, this time, may it be different. This time, today, he heard the Lord Jesus Christ passing by. He heard all the commotion. Everything was hectic, and there was noise, and there was bustle. There was a glorious opportunity. And just as there was an opportunity for Bartimaeus, so there is an opportunity for us. No matter what state our life might be in, no matter what we've been carrying with us into church, perhaps been carrying with us for many a year, no matter how we've been living or where we've been living, what we've had to cope with, we might be alone in company with other people, but we feel that we're alone. We feel that there's no one to help. We've been here so often before. What's the point anymore? And now, there is this glorious opportunity. The opportunity for everything to change. How long have we carried a heavy load on our conscience? We've tried everything to relieve it and give us respite and to make it at peace and put it behind us. We've tried so often, so many things, and always with the same result. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were thinking of that woman with the issue of blood, with a problem she had, and she had it for 12 years. And she had spent all her money on trying the latest offerings and the latest cures that were put out, and they never did anything for her. Until she pushed through the crowd. Oh, she wasn't going to be put off. She wasn't going to be put off when the opportunity came her way of Jesus there. And she was just going to stretch out her hand and touch the hem of his garment, and she was convinced that that would be enough to heal her. A problem for so long. What is the time scale of ours? And what's the nature of the problem we've got? A guilty conscience that's disturbing us every day we waken and is with us until we close our eyes at night. And we think it's gone, but there it is, standing at the bedside when we open them in the morning. And this opportunity here this morning to lay it to rest. Because there is only one person who can pardon sin, and there is only one person who can lay it down and cover it in a way that is effective forever and for eternity. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The opportunity we have and we hear in this gospel message this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There is only one way in which we can appear before God in peace and with quietness, and that is by trusting in Him. He can put His arm around the shoulder of every one of His children and His people, and He can say, I and the people the Lord has given me. Are we one of that crowd? Are we one of the Lord's people? A heavy burden and a heavy load we're carrying, yes. But Jesus is the only one who can take that load from us. And we have that opportunity here this morning. But some other ways in which it can be applied. What about our satisfaction, or rather our dissatisfaction in life? We've tried everything to fill our life and make it meaningful. We can try something that comes along. The latest offerings, the latest gadgets, the latest prescriptions. We can try something to fill our Friday nights and Saturdays. But we find that when the days pass and the nights are over, our lives are so often the same. When we scratch below the surface, and it's the surface which other people see, and we think of what we are like below the surface, there's a hollowness and an emptiness. We know ourselves. We know ourselves better than other people do. And there's a wilderness, a dryness. Last week, we enjoyed good weather, yes, but for a long time. For a long time, when we've got dry weather like that, the dust comes. And the dust and the dryness can have an effect upon us. And it can spoil our life. That kind of emptiness. That kind of dissatisfaction. Trying something and it not working. And there is only one who has the gift of life for us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that He came to give us life and to give us more abundantly. And we know that that's what we're looking for and we're needing. And here He comes in the gospel message this morning. And He stands before us and He has in His hand that gift of spiritual life, pardon and forgiveness, that peace that we cannot find anywhere else, that satisfaction which comes from living for Him and serving Him, walking His way, living according to His word. We've tried so many paths and so many alternatives. We've tried so many other different ways. And now the path is set before us. This way. No other way. The opportunity we have. And the Lord is calling us to go down that path. Obstacles again might come before us. Yes, but what about this and that that you've been doing? Yes, and what about your friends? Again, the whole pile of obstacles can come before us. Do we go through them and cut through them? The persistence the Lord looks for from us. To seek Him. We're told, seek ye the Lord. Call upon Him. Call out and cry out to Him. Well, do we? Are we earnest and sincere? Are we passionate and committed? Is it something that comes from deep within us? Or is it just something on the surface of our lives? Any kind of spiritual need, any kind of spiritual want, any kind of spiritual desire, how deep is it with us? We can judge by how persistent we are in seeking after Him. Perhaps we've been seeking after Him for many a year. We've been concerned for our souls and we've been asking for Him and seeking for Him. And it's been from 1 year to the next and still we haven't got an answer. What do we do? Here, Bartimaeus tells us well, giving us a fine example. Keep on. Keep on crying out to Him for spiritual blessing. And what did he do What did he do that is an encouragement to us also? He didn't just simply sit there and wait for things to happen and to come to him. He was stirred up by what was going on round about him, and he was stirred up to seek the Lord. He was blind. But that doesn't mean to say that he sat still. If he couldn't see, at least he was listening. Verse 36 tells us, he heard that the multitude passed by, and he asked, what did it mean? When we're blind, other faculties compensate for us. When you're blind, you develop a very sharp memory, because if you can't see where things are, you've got to remember where you left them. And not only does memory get sharp, but your hearing becomes acute. You cannot see where anything is, therefore you've got to listen, and listen carefully in case there's danger round about you. And that's what this man was doing. He was paying close attention. He was listening to what was being said and what was happening. The talk and the discussion was different this time. Oh yes, he had sat there many a time, and all of the world went past him one way or another, in and out of the city of Jericho. The whole hubbub and the commerce of life eventually came past his feet. But it didn't benefit him, it didn't affect him, and he could predict it possibly day after day. But this day was different. He heard something that was strange, something going on. We listen to the gospel. We listen to sermons. How many have we heard? We can match them and scratch them down. We can count them up. But is this one different this morning? This one, something has been said that grabs hold of our mind. Something has been said which lodges with us. Something has been said that gets deep inside us that's never been there before. And there's a degree of expectation. We begin to listen. Listen for something for our good. Listen for something for our blessing. Yes, Bartimaeus listened. What else did he do? He asked, what does this mean? He couldn't understand it, and therefore he wanted an explanation. Asking for an explanation of things. There are many things with us that we don't understand about spiritual truths. There are many things that are happening in our lives, in our own experience, that we cannot relate to. There are many things happening suddenly, unexpectedly, breaking in upon us that we cannot place in our understanding or in our experience of things in the past. God is doing perhaps surprising things with us. Or again, when we read our Bibles, yes, we've read a passage and we've read it year after year, but today, when we're going through something like Bartimaeus went through, we begin to ask questions. Yes, but what does this mean? What is God telling me out of this passage? Why is it so important? What is so urgent that I need to believe in Jesus Christ? These are the simple but profound questions. Why do I need to be saved? Now that's a question. We need to be saved because we have an immortal soul. And the destiny of that soul will be determined by our relationship to Jesus Christ. Do we trust in Him or not? Simple things, but so profound. Simple things, but so vital and important for our soul. Asking questions. What is God saying to me through this passage? How does it apply to my life? What is the Lord telling me through these incidents and events that have happened to me recently? the activity. He listened. He asked. But then he prayed. He cried, verse 38, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He didn't come dressing his words up in long sentences and big words. You see, here we have a spiritual need in the man. He knows himself. He knows his need that he needs to see. And he knows that Jesus Christ can give him that sight. And so he went straight to the person with the answer. And he went straight with the problem that he had. Straight to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for mercy. Looking for healing. Looking for strength. And he asked, Lord, give me my sight. Have mercy upon me. He prayed. And it was a deep, sincere, heartfelt prayer. A spiritual prayer. And he kept at it. There must have been some kind of an advance party, we're told. And they who went before rebuked him. There must have been an advance party going ahead of the Lord. And they tried to put Bartimaeus down. They tried to make sure that he stayed at the side of the road. They made sure that he wasn't going to disturb the Lord, because just in the verses before this, we're told that our Lord instructed the disciples. He told the disciples that he's going to Jerusalem. And his purpose of going there, that he's going to suffer, he's going to die on the third day, he's going to rise again. This was his intent. In another part of the Bible, we're told that Jesus set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. There was that determination about him. That same persistence as we have here. And therefore, when the followers of the Lord saw and heard the message and the body language of Jesus, they were taken up with it, and right, we're going to Jerusalem, and no one's going to disturb us and spoil us and distract us. And this man by the side of the road, keep him there. Keep him down. But he wasn't going to be kept down. And he kept on crying out to the Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. He believed that Jesus was able to help him. Do for him what he asked. And so he kept on praying. We need to be saved. And there is only one person that can save us, and that is Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we don't get an answer the first time of asking, we need to do the same as this man. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep shouting and calling out to the Lord for our spiritual good on our soul. Deep within his bones, deep within his very being, this was the cry that he had. It's something that we need today, because there is so little spirituality of this kind. There's so little of this deep, deep, intense personal concern. Spirituality in Christianity is so often now portrayed on the surface only of the life of our lives. It's on the surface of society. Go below it and you've got a vacuum. But not with this man. However far you plumb the depths of his life, you came up with the same colors and the same features. He had a spiritual concern. He had a spiritual calling out to the Lord. He needed, and he felt it, he needed to be saved. And what an answer he received. The Lord, on his way to Jerusalem, about to fulfill the counsels of eternity and the gift, the task that was given to him, by his Father to obtain salvation and forgiveness for the gift of his people to him. Here he is on his way to Jerusalem, and one man calls out. And what does the Lord do? In verse 40 we're told that Lord Jesus stood. He stopped. And he turned and identified Bartimaeus and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What kind of an open check was that? A blank check, open and set before him. "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus, with the same persistence and the same spiritual need that had driven him on, focused on one thing only. Despite all of the options that might have come into his mind, there was only one thing that was important to him. And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." What a tremendous prayer that is, and an example for us to follow. To call out to the Lord, and as he is in heaven, so he is the same as he was on the earth. That cry of a sinner looking for forgiveness can reach to the very courts of heaven itself, and will bring that same response from the Lord. "What do you want me to do for you, that I might receive my sight?" And that is exactly what happened to him. That is exactly what he experienced. His faith had saved him. He received his sight. What do you want Jesus Christ to do for you? What concern do you carry in your soul this morning? Have you got that spiritual concern to be right with God? Have you got that spiritual concern to be at peace with him? You know that you're not with peace just now, but you've been taught something about eternity. You realize what a fearful thing it is to be in the hands of God. You realize how fleeting and passing and empty things of this world are. That's the kind of spiritual work that the Lord has been doing in your life. And now it comes to this climax and this crunch confrontation, this glorious opportunity this morning. The Lord speaking to us, meeting with us. And he says, in the face of all the obstacles that come against us, he says to us, "What do you want me to do for you? That I might receive my sight, that I might be forgiven, that I might be at peace." That's what he wanted. And the challenge is for ourselves. We're not bystanders. We're not onlookers to this text. We're involved. We're involved in it, and the challenge comes to us as we close. What would we answer were we to be asked that same question? What would our response be in the situation that he has been in? All the privileges that we've had in the past, all the things we've gathered together in our experience, they come together here this morning. Jesus passing by, the opportunity we've got. The way in which he stops and places the question to us. How then do we respond? Out of a spiritual concern, we are insistent and persistent in prayer. "Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that I might be forgiven. Lord, that I might have peace." Is that the longing we have this morning? Is that the desire of our prayer as the Lord passes by? in our service, in the gospel, today. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we sit underneath the glorious message of salvation in Jesus Christ, thy Son, by thy Spirit teach us, O Lord, we pray, to hold on in our seeking after him, not to be discouraged or to be deflected or distracted, but constantly to cry out to thee, Lord, that we might receive our sight, that we might be saved. Deal with us in thy grace, O God, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 25. First verse at the beginning, to thee I lift my soul. O Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes triumph for me. Let none that wait on thee be put to shame at all, but those that without cause transgress, let shame upon them fall. Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send. And notice these last two lines. And I upon thee all the day, expecting, do attend.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.